morning. Yeah. Can I get a woo-woo for turkey? Yeah. Burger. Dude, it's kicking in. Thank you. Yeah, we had about 25 people in our house at Friday, and it was really packed. It was really good, but it's cool when family. What's up, Danny? It's cool when family members come. Speaking of family, it's cool when family members come to your house because you, even though you know them, you're like bringing up conversation stuff to talk to them about because you're running out of stuff. Anyone ever do that? Yeah, but we had a good time. I had a bunch of leftovers. I was eating Aunt Joyce's. What was it? Say it. Oh. She's from Missouri. That's where they do it right in Missouri. And she got busy on that pie. It was so good. I was eating it like Winnie the Pooh in the middle of the night. I'm just like, I'm in a wife beater. My wife's like, no. I look more like a wife threatener when I wear a wife beater. I'm not a wife beater. But I, it's terrible. I love my wife. Jodie, I didn't tell you this, but I was going to have you announce it. But Thursday, December 22nd, is our youth group merge Christmas party here. And I just thought it up last week. So I was like, let's do it here. And if you'd like to donate cookies, pies, anything, bottled water, what's that? Desserts, anything like that. It's December 22nd. It's a Thursday and it's here. And if you'd like to donate, that would be awesome because my kids love to eat, you know, so we would love that. Also we'll have games and stuff. So if you'd like to even donate your time and hang out, that'd be great. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. Thursday, December 22nd. We're doing this series. Well, first of all, I want to tell you that I had something written out, right? Is it wrote or written out? Written. Okay. Go sit down, right? I had something written out and God told me to teach on something totally different today. Alright? Like I had something all written out and God said, I want you to preach on something totally different. And I'm like, alright, I have this whole thing written out. I text Chris. Chris is like, oh yeah, God does that. You know, replies back like he will make you change your sermons. Because he wants to talk, and I believe God uses leaders to talk to his people. I believe God uses his people to talk to his people. So I had this whole sermon written out about in the vein of generosity, but God told me to teach about something different. But I want to tell you a quick generosity story that happened to us when we were in Branson, Missouri. This is crazy. We went to this, I know I told you probably a few months ago in the summer, but maybe some of you haven't heard this. We went to this restaurant called Lambert's in Missouri. Has anyone ever heard of Lambert's where they throw the rolls at you? You put your hand up and they whip it at you and they come by with buckets full of like fried okra and all types of good food. So we went to Lambert's and on my way there, I was thinking like, man, that would be cool if someone paid for our dinner. Cause I got, you know, we're a family of four and then Jameson's family is with us. I'm like, that'd be awesome if someone was just like, let me just pay for your dinner. So, we sat down and our waitress came up. Her name was Jasmine and she had this pin on her, it was a flare pin on one of her suspenders. And it said, I love Jesus. And we're like, cool. We love Jesus too a lot, you know, and we started talking to her and she asked about the tattoos and I explained and then she asked my brother-in-law about his artwork and we just started talking to her and she was like, wow, you guys are pretty open about your faith. I said, is there anything that we can pray about for you before, you know, we eat? She's like, pray that I can use this job to witness to people. And I'm like, okay, we'll do that. So we prayed with her, like right in the middle of the restaurant. And man, we went to get our bill and she paid for it. All of it, right? So I use that example of generosity because I believe that when you're faithful with God's money, it's not like a pyramid scheme. I mean, you guys know that, you've heard this, but it's not like, you know, you give 10 bucks back, God gives 100. God does way more than that, right? Amen? Right? God does way, he blows your mind in ways you can't even think. So that story about Lambert's and just getting my meal paid, Not only was it a delicious meal, but it was free, and it was so good. So just remember, whenever you give to God, you can't outgive God. And by the way, it's His anyways, right? Who are you fooling, right? All right. So I wanted to start out with today. I believe that we should talk about this, right? Today we're going to talk about death. Oh man. We're going to talk about death, but we're going to talk about death for the believer, all right? My grandma was 90 years old. She claimed that the reason that she was 90 years old was because she drank a beer every day and she watched Cheers. And she hung out with my uncle. She said, that's how I don't do a lot. I just drink one beer and I do a little housework and vacuuming. And her stress level was down. But my grandma passed away when she was 90. This was in 2006. So she passed away. And then I remember, I had a couple friends from Saginaw that committed suicide. And, one was recent and one was a long time ago when I was about 13. And I remember my introduction to death was just so like, oh, like this is something that's so gripping and it's so permanent. I had a teacher that had a peanut allergy. He left to go. It was at Community Baptist Christian School in Saginaw. He left to go to school and teach, and it was his last day of his life. He ate a donut that had a peanut in it, and he died. He passed away, and it was so traumatic. Listen, I've had two aunts that passed away from lung cancer. We've had family members in the Masters family that have passed away. The older you get. The older you get, the more funerals you will go to, because people just die, right? The older you get, more people die. Probably one of the worst examples of death for me was when my brother passed away. I was about 15, and I remember he was about 32. My brother was a biker, lived in Inkster, lived that life of like, see you later, I'm on my bike, I'm not going to see you for years, but my brother passed away. He had a heart attack, and I remember my dad calling me and just being like, son, your brother passed away. And I remember being like, why, God? Why would you do that? Why would you, it's the beginning of my life, why would you take something like that away from me this quick? Like, I didn't even know this guy. But he passed away, and when I was born again at 13, one of the key things I remember when I was born again was the difference between those who follow Jesus and pass versus those who do not follow Jesus and pass. And my question, this is something that like, I know we don't touch on this, but I want to ask you, are you ready for that? Right? This isn't a scare. If this is supposed to scare you, then it is. Okay? But I believe that we as born again Christians should be ready. Every day. Every moment. It's part of our salvation. Right? So we're supposed to be ready. A survey said, because I Googled it, a survey said that every second two people die in the world. And there's estimated to be 7.5 billion people in the world as of November 2016, 7.5 billion people. So people in every country avoid the cemetery. There's not many people that are running towards death, chasing it. We all start eating right sometimes. We start exercising the first of the year. We're all going to be at Planet Fitness. Like, yeah, look at, getting lean and stuff. We work on ourselves. But you're going to die. I'm just telling you, man, whether Jesus Christ comes back and gets us, there's no option. This isn't Gordon Fry's opinion. You will die. You're going to die. All right, listen, your parents are going to die. Your siblings are going to die. Your pets are going to die. Let it sink in, man. I'm telling you, this is what God told me to tell you, okay? Your neighbors, people sitting next to you, dad. But What makes death so strong that scares people? I hope I have your attention, right? It's 10:35, let's do this. What makes death so strong that it scares people? The most common denominator in all mankind is death. White people, black people, millionaires, billionaires, broke people, truck drivers, politicians, drummers, pastors, atheists, plumbers, electricians, children, teenagers, old people. Death doesn't care. The moment you were born, the clock started ticking. Right? I know this is gruesome, but I just want this to sink in. The greatest equalizer of all mankind is death. Money doesn't stop death. You can't give death money and it will go away. You can't tell death, pause. Like Levi will be wrestling on the floor and he's like, pause, dad, pause the game. Because we're so used to pausing Xbox games. Death doesn't pause. Death doesn't say, okay, I'll come back in a little bit. Unless Jesus comes back for his church, everyone's going to die. The greatest kings in the Bible, all dead. Hey, listen to this. Karl Marx said, there's no God. Guess where he is? Go ahead and say it. Dead. Just saying. You can't postpone death. Okay? When God says it's your time to go, it's your time to go. You can postpone on an appointment, but not this kind of an appointment. I know guys, sometimes we postpone appointments. You know, you have a doctor's appointment, oh, I'll get to it next month. You know, we joke about, like, if we have symptoms, we'll Google symptoms. That's the worst thing you can ever do in your life is Google, what's this rash on my face or whatever. Oh, my goodness. But this is an appointment that you cannot miss. You're not going to miss. I just want you to know that. Unless Jesus comes back, you will not miss this appointment. Sometimes death is the final solution. Sometimes the solution to tyranny and oppression is death of a leader. Some people live too long, or so we think, and there are people in other countries that are glad that death took their leader. One of the most common feelings with death is helplessness, because you can't do anything about that body. When my brother was in the casket, I just couldn't do anything. I felt helpless. He's there. You can't do anything about the body. The shell is empty and that person has left earth. And finally, the biggest factor of why death scares people is because it's just so permanent. It's just so permanent. If you've had a loved one that has passed away, you have to kind of, whether they're saved or they're unsaved, you have to retrain your brain that that person is not here anymore. Now, I know that's gruesome. I know I just hit you like, pop, 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 and you're like, death, Gordon, that's a lot. But let's take a look at what the Bible says about death and someone who follows Jesus, okay? Because it's a way different scenario. It's not dark. It's way different for the believer. So open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. And this chapter, it's a long chapter, but I had to read it a couple times because it shook me to the core. When I read it, sometimes you read scripture. I don't know if you guys ever do this. But you read scripture and you're like, you go through it and then you're like, okay, thank you, Lord. And then sometimes you read scripture and you're like, whoa, I never seen that ever in my life. Has that ever happened to anybody where you do devotions and God talks to you just like that? I'm going to read this. It's 1 Corinthians and we're just going to read chapter 15. And this whole chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus. He says, now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved if you hold firmly to the message that I have proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you, as of first importance, what in turn I had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. Everyone say amen. Yeah. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. So he's saying, Jesus didn't die, and no one seen him. He was raised again, and there were witnesses that seen him. He appeared to Cephas. And then verse 6, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the disciples. So you see this track record. Jesus is showing up. Hey, you thought I was dead. I'm not. Right? I died, but I'm not dead. Verse 7, then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. So he's starting this off with resurrection. Verse 12, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection from the dead? Hey, you guys, hang on. You guys ever hear of Sadducees? You ever hear that? I learned this in Bible school. They don't believe that Jesus rose the dead, so they're sad, you see. Hope you remember that. Sadducees. Okay. That's a good one. Verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. So he's saying, look, if Jesus never rose from the dead, then what are we doing? If he truly hasn't risen from the dead, then why do we believe this? Verse 15, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified of God that he has raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If that's true, that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If this life we only have hope for in Christ are of all people most to be pitied. But let's fast forward just to verse 35. Okay, skim down to 35. He says, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Verse 36, he says, fool. I love when the Bible says fool, because I picture like Mr. T, like, fool, fool. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but bear a seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind seed of its own. Not all flesh is alike, but there is one flesh for human beings and another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are both heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one thing, and that of the earth is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. Indeed, stars differ from star in glory. So, verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. And then let's fast forward to verse 54. He says, when this perishable body puts on when this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, verse 55, this is one of the key verses. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot. I know we read a lot, but that is a lot for us to take in and a lot for us to understand. And the key verse is, it's victory through Jesus. So listen, we may have problems with our thoughts. We may have problems with our finances. We may have problems with anger. But Jesus gives us victory through all of those. And on top of that, he defeated death. Defeated death. It wasn't like death, I'm just going to put you away. He forever defeated death. We will never die after this life. And we don't turn into like Edward from Twilight. We're not Dracula. We're not like that. we will be immortal, living with God without death and without sin. That's going to be weird. Can you imagine what it's going to be like with no death, no sin? I can't, because all I do is sin. Do you know we will physically reign with Christ? These are things that believers should read and know. We will reign with Jesus forever. Forever, ever? Forever, ever. Yeah. We will reign with Him forever. And after Jesus died, He rose from the dead. And what we read through there was that this wasn't just a fairy tale. He rose from the dead. There were witnesses that seen it. People have told people for the past 2,000 years, Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. Jesus died, okay? Listen to me. He died, but He's not dead. Okay? He died, but He is not dead. And if you follow Jesus, you'll die, okay, unless He comes back. But you won't be dead. I want that to sink in as much as I can. His victory over death is our victory over death. And then He says, death, where's your sting at? You guys ever get stung? Oh, it's horrible, says the guy with tattoos on his neck. It's horrible. You get stung by a bee. Ah, you freak out. I remember one time in Saginaw, I put my foot in one of those. You guys are going to laugh. It was one of those jelly shoes, right? You remember those? You put them in. They're like, those are hot? Yeah. They were jelly shoes, right? I put them in there because I like wearing jelly shoes when I mowed the lawn, because it was a big lawn to mow, and there was a bumblebee in there. Got me right on my foot. It stung me. It shook me. I want to compare that to this, where He's saying, death, where's your sting at, punk? Listen, death, you've been scaring everybody, but we're not afraid. He says, death, where's your sting? Living here on earth will be the shortest thing we ever do. Think about that. We got this, my kids are always like, I'm 5, I'm 6. And then the next year, actually, let's not talk about that. It's not the next year yet. They always talk about, I'm 3. No, I'm 4. I'm older than you. Sam's older than Levi. No, I'm 5. No, I'm 6. Levi, I'm still older than you, right? And they're always arguing about that. And then I look at when I was 10 and I wanted to be 15, and then I turned 15 and then I wanted to be 18 and then 21, because you know what goes down when you're 18 and you're 21. I wanted to do that. I wanted to get older, but life goes so fast that if you blink, it will go past you. And I know some of you older folks that have much more wisdom than I, you tell me and you look at me and you say, enjoy your kids, because they will grow up very fast. Listen, life goes fast. It all comes down to this fact. If Jesus rose from the dead, then He's God. If He rose from the dead, He's God. If He didn't rise from the dead, guess who He is? A nobody, a lunatic. But He rose from the dead. Jesus' resurrection is our salvation. And the key verse, 57, says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will be changed. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't something that we're supposed to throw in every cartoon that we watch with our kids or anything on TV. This is real. And for 2,000 people have been preaching that Jesus Christ is alive. For 2,000 years, people have been preaching that. Because what happens to Jesus happens to us. The word Christian means follower of Christ. Everything that has happened to Jesus, we should expect to happen to us. Temptation, trial, even death. Resurrection. Amen? Right? Okay? It's part of our salvation. We're supposed to follow Him. I use this analogy, this hook. I have a dog named Chachi. How many of you guys know Chachi? Have you ever met Chachi? You've come to my house? Okay. Chachi follows you everywhere and it bugs me. My father-in-law is shaking his head back there because he always gives me a solution how we can get rid of him. My dog Chachi follows me everywhere. I go to the bedroom to get something, he's there. I go downstairs, he's following me. I go to the bathroom, I come out, he's waiting, like we're in the nightclub, like he's waiting for me to come out, and he just wants a drink of water. But Chachi follows me everywhere, and if I ran across 23, he would follow me, even to death. And I know that sounds silly, but he would follow me even to death. And I ask, how many of you would follow Jesus even to death? Even think about this, how many would give your life to Jesus? Death is the easy part. I know growing up, I always thought, man, one day there's going to be tribulation, and they're going to put a gun to my head and say, do you believe in Jesus or do you not? And I'm not saying that wouldn't happen, okay? But I always thought it would be that easy. Okay, yes, I do. We have a whole lifetime that we will be persecuted. We have a whole lifetime of people telling us there is no Christ. But we know firsthand that there is. So, we need to follow Christ. As much as my dog follows me everywhere, even more. I know that's a crazy example to give. But where Christ tells us to go, we should go. Right? Following Jesus was never meant for us to be like unharmed. Read about the disciples. They were beaten. The apostles. Like, following Jesus, when you follow Jesus, the unexpected happens. Okay? Good too. Persecuted, mock, tribulation, dying to ourselves, and then being raised again. And we're supposed to be different than the world, and that includes the expectation of death. To the world and your unsaved friends and family members, death is an impending doom, right? Death is the be-all, end-all. To the world, it's an impending doom, but to the born-again child of God, it's just our transition from here to there. It's not that hard to understand. It's the transition from here to there. Go to Psalm 90. This is an awesome verse. It makes me, every time I read it, I have to put the brakes on in my life and remember what the psalmist is saying. Psalm 90, verse 12. And he says, Psalm 90, verse 12, he says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Number our days. What does that mean? It means count them. Be grateful for them. Understand that your life will not be here forever. Right? I remember being Gabriel's age. Gabriel, you're 15, right? 15 years old. I remember that. Boom. I'm going to be 39 next year. Time goes quick, man. It goes really quick. Teach us to number our days, meaning count our days. And there's a countdown until when you're out of here. Nobody knows when that is, okay, except God. But there's a countdown going, and we don't want to stand in front of God unprepared. Hebrews 2, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he," who is Jesus, "death he might destroy the one who has power over death," that is the devil, "and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery." I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to think, am I afraid to die? There's a lot of people that are. I think about how I'm gonna die, right? I don't like that. That's not the part, you know, cause it's, you don't want to think about that. And I think about my wife and my children and you guys. But death, I've come to this grip of going, if I die, I'm with Jesus, that's better than here. You understand? If we die, it's better to be with Jesus than here. Now, we love each other, and someone from this room is going to die before everyone else. Shocker, right? Who is it? Who is it? Is it the butler? Is it? But listen, we're not going to be here forever, okay? What's that? We do have a large offering coming up. Okay, that was bad. Oh, I preached myself in a corner. Not good. Hey, listen to this, okay? If you're going to get a tattoo, get this. You are not free to live until you are no longer afraid to die. Right? You are not free to live until you are no longer afraid to die. As long as you're afraid of death, it'll warp your mind. It'll keep you in a form of dread. Amy and I like to watch reality shows, right? Here's one that we watched. We haven't watched it in a while. It's called Doomsday Preppers. Anyone know about that? Doomsday preppers? Oh my goodness! These people! Whoa! Come on, I mean, they talk about death as it's like obliterated and then we're worm food and there's nothing left, so we should dodge it. At all costs. It's like people would like, now listen, me and Jameson, when we lived in Unadilla, I had this little, I wanted to call it a panic room, it wasn't, it was just a closet in the basement. But we went to Aldi's and we made it rain in there. We were buying chili, every kind of canned good, just in case that something happens. We'll get Amy's family, my dad will be there, and we'll all live in my basement with my chili beans and all that stuff. And then we had this idea that just in case something happened, listen, just in case something happened, we wouldn't need God, we'd have our pantry, right? Because we're in control. Whoa! Hey, if you really want to prep for something, prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare for His kingdom. Most importantly, prepare to meet Him. Look, we're going to be doing a lot more talking to God than our 5 minutes that we do before bedtime. We're going to talk to God face to face forever. We're not going to be like giving thanks for our food. We're going to be giving thanks that He's in front of us. Forever, ever, right? Man. But Doomsday Preppers, I've watched it. I like the idea. The concept's cool, but look. You're gonna die too, and so is your pet. So, if you really wanna prep for something, prep for the kingdom. Death, listen, death is not a termination, alright? Alright? Do you understand that? It's not like cleaning your browser, control, alt, delete, get rid of that stuff. It's not like, cleaning out your car. Death isn't just like, okay, we're done and then the game's over, press the power button off on the Nintendo. It's not like that. Death is not a termination. Death is just a transition. Out of here, into there, right? Why do we pace back and forth? I mean, when someone says, you might die. Look, bro, there's no might about it. Okay? You might die. If Jesus doesn't come back in your time, you will die. Prepare. Sure, we'll miss that person. I miss my brother that passed away. We will miss that person in this life. But if you are born again, you will see them again. Understand that. Don't believe any lies that this world tells you. If the Holy Spirit is inside of you, God dwells inside of you. Okay? This life is not the end. And the fear of death affects everything about your life. Hebrews 9:27, and just as it is appointed for man once to die, after that comes the judgment. There's no two or three times. You don't die and then come back as an ant, and then as someone squishes you, you come back as a cockroach, and then someone kills that, then you grow up the food chain. You don't. God's word says you die and then that's it. Then it says it is appointed man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. And the only thing that you can do about death is prepare for it. How many people here know someone that's still living from the 1400s? Anyone? 1500s? 1600s? They're all dead. 1800s? Maybe 1900s? Right? Right? Okay. But they're dead. How many of us in this room are going to be here 200 years from now? Jason will be here. Yes. No, Jason will not be here. But no one will be here. We will either, if for us that are born again, we will be with the Lord. And we'll be with years. There won't even be years. There won't even be time. We will be with God forever. Forever, ever. Yes. Death is the last enemy to be destroyed, and we weren't made to die. We were made to live forever, and because of sin, death entered into this world, and we're going to a place that's sinless, where nothing ever dies. That includes aging. How cool is that, right? Chris, you will be exceptionally handsome forever, for eternity. Forever. We will be looking good, right? Okay? Listen, in heaven, there's no more tears. There's no more crying. There's no more crying. There's no more tears. There's no more addiction. There's no more jealousy. There's no more sin. Why would we not be excited to go there? And I think that sometimes we get trapped in this world where we have all these things and we forget that we're going someplace, right? We get trapped, we get caught up with all these things around us. There's nothing to fear for the child of God. And when you get to God, when you meet with Him, your whole perspective will change. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're not just people who lived a long time ago. They're alive today. Listen to this. They are. They aren't just here, they're there. And we didn't lose these people. We didn't lose our loved ones that passed away that have followed Jesus. We didn't lose them. They just relocated, okay? They just relocated. If you had family that moved from here to Wisconsin, you wouldn't say, "We lost them." Right? They just moved, dude. Like, they just moved. We wouldn't say we lost them. We know where they are. They know where they are. They're not gone forever. They just aren't here. They're there, and we will be with them as well. And we have to do our job while we're here on earth. I started telling you a story. I told you some stories about some people that died, and it was a dark moment, right? And I want to end this with a very light moment. I was in a band with Wayne Bredeau and his friend Doug, okay? Wayne played guitar, Doug played guitar, they both sang. Good guys, right? Awesome band. I was able to play drums with them. Doug died this year. But Doug isn't dead. He's alive with Jesus right now. Whew. And when you know someone like that, it even takes you even further to knowing God's love and knowing that this person isn't worm food. They're with the Father right now. Doug's with Jesus right now. Doug was blind on earth. He can see now. Everything's perfect. So Doug knew his time was ticking down around January. He got really sick with cancer. Really bad. But he doesn't have cancer anymore. Any ailment that we have in this life, when we get to be with God, it will not be there anymore. So we cling to this earth like it's just so awesome. And it's not. I mean, serious. If all we're doing, if we treat heaven like a bus pass just to get there and we forget about Jesus, then we're doing it wrong. I can't wait to see Jesus. Like, see Him face to face. So what are you going to do about all of this? I am calling you out. If this is all true, how are you spending your time here on earth? If this is all bogus, then it's okay. Then Gordon Fry's a liar. God's word isn't true. We can all go home and live like doomsday preppers. But if this is true, then there's decisions that you have to make. What will you do with your future? And what are you doing in the here and now, right now? And I'm not asking, what are you going to do when the kids are out of the house and when you're retired and you have your awesome nest egg and the security so you can go and serve God without fear of debt because you have bills? You can still follow God radically right now, okay? And to tie this in, when you give radically, God gives radically. There's like tons of people that I'm looking at right now that I know that God has blessed them because they were obedient. What you did in the past is what you did in the past. What are you going to do with your future? And this is something you have to do now. We don't have altar calls here. It's not like that. We don't beat you up. 25 verses of I Surrender All. If God is talking to you, listen and talk to Him. Talk with us after the service. Talk with Pastor Chris. Talk with me. Talk with any of our elders. But I want you to know that when we die, there's two scenarios. If we know Jesus, we will be with Him, okay? Listen, if we know Jesus, we will be with Him forever. But if you don't know Jesus, you're waking up in a courtroom And God's asking you a series of questions like, what did you do with your life? What did you do with my son? Is this supposed to scare you? Yes, because it's true. We serve a risen God. We don't worship stone objects. We don't worship statues. Man, we serve a living God who is alive. Jesus died, but he's not dead. It gets me excited, man. I get super pumped. I think the best thing is because you're my family, and everyone that I see in here, if you know Christ, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. So not only do we get to hang out on earth, you get to be with me for heaven. Yeah. No, but serious, aren't you excited? Like, we get eternity. Eternity with the Father. Pumped up, man. And the Son, and the Spirit. Hey, I love you guys. I really mean this. If God has talked to you even a little bit and you're like, I am wasting my life, come and talk to me. I've been there, okay? I really have. Chris, would you mind closing us with prayer as we go into our two final songs?